Hey, this is Michelle Martinez of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and I am really excited about this show today. About 3 weeks ago, we got an email from Wedding Wire asking if we wanted their wedding trends expert to be a guest on our show. And after literally picking my jaw up off of the floor, Christy and I said, hell yes, let's do this. It should be a lot of fun. And it was fun. So Anne Chertoff is the wedding trends expert. And she has been living, breathing, eating, drinking, reading all things weddings for well over 20 years, and she's bringing some great, great ideas to the show today. Wedding Wire is just a really awesome mega hub. Just amazing tools and information at your fingertips where wedding planning is concerned. For those of you who are listening to our show for the first time today, welcome and thank you for checking us out. We hope you like it. For those of you who have listened to us before, thank you so much. We love you guys, and we really appreciate your continued support. Our goal at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is super simple. Christy and I have so many years of experience as wedding planners, and we want to bring that to you and give you ideas and give you advice and be those wedding planners that are in the car with you as you're driving or in your earbuds as you're running. We want to give you some really great information. So thank you again, all of you, so much. Thank you, Wedding Wire. Thank you, Anne Chertoff. Thank you all for listening and enjoy the show.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And we are super excited about today's episode.
We are breaking ground.
We have a new chick in the club, it feels like.
There's a new chick in the club in New York in her house. And you guys, this is like, I don't know, like this is kind of celebrity for us. Like this is, you're a celebrity lady. This is huge. Who are we speaking to today, Christy?
We are speaking to Anne Chertoff. She is a wedding trends expert, the wedding trends expert for Wedding Wire. And since we think most of the people listening to this podcast are planning their own wedding or are vendors, then all of you have heard of Wedding Wire, weddingwire.com.
And if you haven't, get your ass on the internet right now and go to weddingwire.com because there's a lot of great tools there for you.
So Anne, welcome to the show. We're so happy you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we have, okay, for all of you listening and you know that we don't typically put like structured outlines together for each episode that we do. Like we always kind of know, and just so you know, we always know the subject that we're going to talk about. But for this episode, we got a little more technical. Like we have more of a outline, right? More than what we're used to, Christy. So we wanted to start off by asking Anne to tell all of you out there listening who she is and, you know, what she does and kind of your history and your background. What makes you the expert, Anne?
Yeah, who the hell made you an expert?
Lots of people. Well, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I got into weddings because I was dating a guy in college and I was just waiting for him to propose. And so I just started like envisioning our wedding. And this is a long time ago. So this was before Google and Pinterest and everything.
This was
else.
Like an actual bulletin board.
Yes, with like
actual
push pins and the whole thing. And so I just got internships in college to work at Modern Bride magazine, and then graduated from college and got a job at Martha Stewart Weddings, and kind of just floated around from wedding website and magazine to wedding TV shows and everything in between. And I just absolutely love it. I spend every day thinking and writing and talking about weddings, and it's just such a super fun topic that you just never stop.
It never gets old.
No.
So were you writing, editing, like content, speaking?
Right. I mean, I do all those things. I've produced reality wedding television shows. I've, what else have I done? Wedding, you know, wedding businesses and doing, you know, strategic partnerships, you know, just talking and getting to know people all over the country and the world to find out the latest and greatest in weddings. I covered the royal wedding for different outlets. I just anything you think of. I cover Bridal Fashion Week. I cover the food shows. I cover the stationery shows. I go to wedding conferences.
Wowza.
So you are wedding sick, lady.
Yeah. It's crazy. I just love it. It's just so
and
much
now,
fun.
At
lots
least
of cake.
At this point in your career, all roads lead back to WeddingWire.com right now.
Yes, I've been working with Wedding Wire on and off since they launched 10 years ago. And in the last year, I've been working with them as their trends expert and spokesperson. And it's just, it's the greatest gig in the world.
Okay, I have a really quick question. It's a side note.
Okay.
Did you marry the college guy?
Yes, and we've been together 21 years, married for 14, and we have two kids.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So this all started because you wanted him to propose or you felt like he would propose. And then that's when you just like fell into like.
So I went to I went to four colleges, and at one of my colleges, all the girls I was friends with, all they wanted to do was get married. It used to be called their MRS degree instead of the BS. They were getting an MRS. And we would just talk about, and they'd get engaged and we planned their weddings and I knew that I was going to marry Dave. I knew from the moment I saw him in high school. And so it was just, I would just started collecting all the bridal magazines and tearing out magazine sheets and putting them in folders. And then the ring I inherited, so I knew like I didn't have to wait for him to get a job. I was like, just go and get it. It's in grandma's house. And eventually he proposed and it was great.
So it was a personal obsession, which is natural. Lots of women think about planning their own weddings for forever and ever.
Yeah.
But then that manifested and turned into like
a career.
Couple of baby steps into a career that has like full weddings, balls to the wall weddings, all weddings, all the time.
Well, and the thing is, I give career advice to students at my alma mater, FIT, and I always tell them you have to be passionate about what you do. And so for me, it was a little bit of a no-brainer because I loved events. I was always planning parties for family, for friends. Going back, my first party I ever threw was in the fifth grade. So I always loved events, and it just happened to be that with everybody getting married in college and waiting for Dave to propose, and my sister got engaged a couple of months after I did, it was just planning weddings all the time. And with weddings, you always see like images of dresses and cakes, but there's so many categories. There's travel and food and kids and destination weddings. And there's just so many different categories that it doesn't get old. And when I was at Martha Stewart, I actually got engaged a week before I got offered a job at Martha Stewart Weddings. My boss, Darcy Miller, was like, are you going to want to work on weddings after your own wedding? And I was just like, oh God, I have no idea.
Are you going to lose it?
Right. Like, what if like my day is over and I'm like, all right, done, on to the next. But nope, I just never wanted to leave.
So that kind of is the best career advice though. I mean, we've all heard it, right? Find something that you love and then figure out how to make that your career.
And you can.
Because then every day you love going to work, you know, all that like gushy feely stuff.
Yeah, and my husband, he's just like, not everybody loves what they do the way you do. And I was like, that's sad.
It is,
like,
yes.
Because there's so many things that you could do. You know, if you like food service, if you like teaching, if you like books, like whatever, there's just so many things. You just kind of have to think, you know, what is it, you know, that you would make you happy? And then just, it's like, and I know we're not supposed to talk about Bill Cosby anymore, but there was an episode of The Cosby Show and
I really did like that show.
Everybody liked that show.
Is that just a universal rule? We just can't talk about
it. Well, we're not supposed to talk about him, but I still watch, he's on Channel One, like it's called ONE and we watch it every now and then. And there was an episode where he was giving a bunch of high school kids career advice and he said, you just pick what it is you want to do and then you figure out how to get there. Or is there someone that you know that could help you get there? And
it
is that easy.
I think, and I think, you know, not to go totally off topic here, but, you know, how living life outside of this box that you feel has been set up for you or that society tells you to live in or that your family thinks you should go into this, think you should go into this or the family business, like venturing out and you know, doing what calls to you and your soul and your heart is, you can't go wrong with that. And I mean, just like you, you know, you just, it was started with an internship, you know, and
right.
Boom, look at you. You're an expert.
Yeah. And that's so great. It's just, you never know. And the truth of the matter is, like, I was the joke of the family because I went to four colleges. And every year it was like, where is she going to go this year? Like, where is she going to, like, and it was.
Yeah, what's she into?
Right. It was the biggest joke. And then, like, and then I worked for free at Modern Bride. I didn't get paid. Like, there was no law that you had to pay your interns. And then I turned it into a paid summer job for, and I remember it was $10 an hour, which was a lot of money because I think minimum wage was like $5.25. And I still have a piece of paper that my dad made me that said, had like a picture of a bride and groom equals dollar signs because he, and he apologized. And he's like, you were right. You worked for free. You know, you bummed around to a bunch of different colleges and it turned it into a full-time job. And then of course it turned into a career, but you know, you just have to go with your gut and go with your heart and know what makes you happy and just figure out how to get there. And, you know, today you have Google. So you can go on Google and be like, right. How can I be a whatever?
It's kind of,
you know, back then you didn't have that.
Lucky, though, too, that your original love of weddings remains something that you still love to this day after 20 plus years of doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's also just. You know, I just, cause I'm crazy about weddings and parties and stuff like that. But look, I know like my mother and my sister, they love what they do. They actually work together. You know, and my sister's been in the swimwear business for 15, 20 years now. And we never grew up going swimming. Like we weren't one of those families that went on beach vacations. We went to like museums and amusement parks, but, and she loves it and who knew? So you just have to try things and, you know, hope they work out. And if they don't, you just change your mind. You do something else. There's no rule that you have to like start as a janitor and work your way up. You can jump around, you know, the playground and try different rides and attractions until you figure out what you want to do.
Totally. And now you've landed at Wedding Wire. So you and in telling us about Wedding Wire and what's so, you know, amazing about it. If Wedding Wire had been around when you were planning your wedding, how would you have utilized the
Ooh,
whole
good
I mean it's
question.
Well, it's across the spectrum. So
I mean the biggest problem I had, and this is going back to 2001 and 2, was that it was really hard to find vendors because, you know, unless you literally took out a phone book, like, you know, those big yellow books that they don't have
an
anymore.
An actual book.
It was like a million pages. You would like turn the pages and look up different vendors. Almost nobody had websites. So like, you know, with Wedding Wire, they have over 200,000 vendors that you can find from all over the country. And so, you know, just having that database of reputable vendors with their pictures and how to reach them.
Reviews,
like it just makes the process one step easier because I remember going crazy trying to find a Good Humor ice cream truck that I could rent. And I kept finding them in other states. And I was like, just drive in from Minnesota. And they wouldn't do that. But, you know, that's the beauty of what Wedding Wire is. It's just this really great tech platform where you have all these tools. You know, it's like you don't have to have a calculator and even like a paper spreadsheet or even Excel spreadsheet trying to figure out what all the expenditures are going to be. You have a great budget tool. You know, you can, you know, don't have to field phone calls from guests on the day of the wedding because they can't figure out how to get to you. You know, you can send them to Wedding Wire's app, Wed Social, and they have all the information right there and they can just plug it into their GPS. So there's so many, you know, tech tools that Wedding Wire offers that makes the process so much easier from a planning end, but then also fun, you know, on the whole other end of it, like creating a Snapchat filter.
The pretty stuff.
Yeah, like finding pretty inspiration, searching wedding dresses, you know, creating a cool wedding hashtag to share your images on Instagram and so everyone can find each other's pics. You know, so there's both ends of the spectrum where you have like the practical end, but there's also the playful end.
And couples can build their wedding websites through Wedding Wire, right?
Yeah, so we have a whole wedding website program so you can update all your information. They have registry services. They have pretty much it's like A to Z of what everything that you need. And you know, for someone who's been doing this for 20 years, who's gone through the process, like having so much at your fingertips just makes it so much easier because then everything's in one place and you're not – you know, going to this site for your website and this site for your app and this site for your registry and this site for your budget tool and this site for your dress search. It's all in one place and it's just super easy to use and it's free.
So I'm familiar with Wedding Wire from a vendor's point of view. So from a couple's point of view, you just got engaged, you know, you're ready to start planning. You would go on to WeddingWire.com and essentially start your account, even though it's free, that word, but like your profile.
Right.
And that's where that's like the starting point.
Right. And then you have to figure out where you want to go from there. Like, do you want to search for vendors in the area where you're getting married? Do you want to create your wedding website? I mean, you really don't want to create your website until you know when you're getting married. You know, you want to register. You want to, you know, figure out what's your budget.
Plug some numbers in.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the one thing a lot of couples do is that they run out and they create a website and, you know, and then they're like, but I don't know what I'm sharing yet. So you kind of have to figure out, like, how much you're spending on your wedding, where it's going to be, when it's going to be, where you're going to register, so that you have all that information so that when you have your website, your guests are going to it and they have everything right there. Like, you've already picked your bridal party. Your list of where you're registered at is there. You kind of already have an idea of when it is and where it is because you've discussed your budget and you booked the hall. So there's all those different elements that kind of have to be accomplished. And that's the other thing. Unless there's literally a rush down the aisle because, you know, someone's being shipped off for the military or a relative or someone is sick or, you know, you're pregnant and you want to have a wedding before the baby's born. Like, there's no real rush. You know, you can take, you can take as long as short as you want in planning. It's really up to each couple. But, you know, if you can, you know, delay, you know, and take your time, you might have a less stressful experience because you've, you know, had the discussions about money. You've kind of figured out what kind of style and what you want to do for your wedding. And then having all these tools at Wedding Wire will just kind of further make that process easier.
Wedding Wire could help at every step of the way. So even if you don't know anything except that you're getting married, you can still get started on Wedding Wire and just plug things in as you go.
Yeah, you might decide.
And follow along that way.
Right. You might find that you want to book certain vendors right away, but you want to wait on stationery because you don't know what you want to do yet with your invitation. Or, you know, you want to get your photographer done, but you might not decide till right before the wedding that you then want to have a videographer. So there's going to be a checklist. You know, whatever your wedding is, whatever style it is, there's going to be, and there's tons of lists on Wedding Wire with all the different things that you have to do. I mean, there's over 100 things that you can do planning a wedding. And so you kind of have to figure out for yourself, like, do you want favors? That if you don't want favors, don't have favors. But if you do want favors, what are they going to be? Oh, they're going to be cookies. Like, okay, let's go on the vendor directory section of Wedding Wire and let's find cookie bakers in our area. You know, so it's any point in the process, you can always jump onto the site, look for inspiration. There's always ideas popping up in the editorial section of the site. So you can always, you know, go back for more ideas and more information.
Excellent. I just told my sister, she just got engaged. I said, you need to get on Wedding Wire right now and put your date in, and you need to create your wedding website and get all that settled.
Because part of the big picture is a giant checklist timeline, planning timeline. So that helps you to take all these other steps, but that is something that you create on when you start Wedding Wire, right?
I mean, the thing is, right, the idea is that you have to figure out what it is that you want, you know? And if you want to elope and it's just the two of you, but you still need to find a place to do that and you still need to find a photographer in that area, then your checklist is going to be a lot shorter than someone who's planning, you know, 300 people in a hotel ballroom and they need all the, you know, they want all the bells and whistles. So it's really up to you and your fiance and what you want to do and how you want to plan your wedding.
Hey, let's talk about, you know, trends, because I think a lot of couples out there, they want to hear about the trends. And we don't talk about that a lot on our show because I don't feel like I'm a trends expert. I mean, I'm in the trenches. I'm doing this. I know I'll plan your wedding like that. We read things. We read what Anne writes to learn about trends, right? I mean, we look at magazines and we see what we see happening in real time at our weddings. So, okay, so now let's talk about those trends and tell us how technology is playing a role in the wedding day, not having to do with planning, but like trends where technology is concerned.
Well, there are still so many practical as well as fun technology advances in for wedding planning. So, for example, you know, for the day of, you can work with Wed Social, which is part of Wedding Wire, and have an app for your guests. So, on the one hand, they can have all the information they need for where to be and when, directions, all that kind of stuff. But they can also upload all their photos to the app so that you can then, as the bride and groom, see all the images that are coming in and decide what you want to save and what you want to print and things like that. So you have that kind of communication practical element, but then you also have a lot of the fun stuff. So for example, you can have a hashtag generator tool help you create a super fun hashtag for your wedding if you can't come up with something on your own. Or you can create a Snapchat filter with the date or your names or the location or an image that reflects the location or the style of your wedding. So you have those kinds of like fun elements that are super helpful for the day of your wedding.
Very good. So hashtags, that's a way for people to share, to come up with something creative about them as a couple. But the use of it, the practicality is that people can share posts and photos after the during or after the wedding.
It's an album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, the problem that couples used to have is that like people were taking pictures with their digital cameras and then they would email them or they wouldn't email them. And having a hashtag is just an easy way for the couple to kind of aggregate all the photos that were tagged for their wedding. So they can see all of them and then they can like them or comment
on
them
Facebook,
or save them.
You Instagram.
Know, exactly. And now there's all these services where you can like pick your favorite Instagram photos and have them made into an album, you know, or you can email someone and say, hey, I love this photo. Do you have the original? So you have all these different ways to kind of like help the bride and groom in kind of a practical way, but it's also super fun for the guests.
And how about, other than the hashtags and the photos, anything else technology?
On the wedding days.
Well, you do definitely with photography and videography, you know, we're seeing a lot of drones being used by photographers and videographers so that they can get those unbelievably beautiful aerial views if you're getting married outside or especially if you're having a destination wedding. You can have your photographer put a GoPro in your bridal bouquet so that you can get those kinds of like unexpected images from the wedding, which could be like super secret moments between the bride and groom. You just always want to make sure you remember that they're there, that the GoPro is there capturing everything. It's like the video, you know, the video guy, you want to make sure he takes off the mic before, you know,
you start making out.
You never know.
I just in this last wedding did a time lapse video. They did it. We set it up just to show the vendors how we transformed the room. But that's on everybody's iPhone now, this time lapse video. And it was really cool. And I thought that I'm sure with millennial couples all getting married now, there's time lapses of the bridal suite or hair and makeup or putting on the dress and then being able to post that. That was really cool also.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that, you know, you also have are couples asking for Instagram cuts for their video so that they can put a 60-second or a 55 or whatever it is they want to do, 15-second video from their wedding. And they're asking the videographer to do it on the day of the wedding. So, you know, you're either doing it in a time lapse kind of format or anything. Like maybe there's like a first look moment and they can do a quick edit. So, you know, with the, you know, quick editing capabilities that people have on their laptops, you could get all these really great things posted on social pretty fast.
Yeah. Tell us about like AV stuff that a lighting company or a DJ, or, you know, might be able to come in and ways to transform the room that we haven't seen too much of before now.
Well, you know, people are finally realizing the importance of lighting. And, you know, one of the fun things that your lighting company can do is use a gobo to basically take your monogram or your initials or your logo or date or whatever and put it on the dance floor so that it's like lighting up the dance floor. It's lighting up a wall. You can also have projections, image mapping on the walls, on your cake if you want. So you can really get innovative in the design and the technology of how you want to design the space for the reception site. Which could really, it really just basically says that like instead of having a limited room that you're working in, is that you really can kind of explore all the options beyond that because of the image mapping and the lighting.
Right. So that where we might have seen like a monogram on a wall over the DJ or over the dance floor in other weddings, and then you go to a wedding where you see animation lighting, you know, projected onto a cake. Those are the kind of elements.
You have like a couple dancing on a cake. Exactly.
Yeah, those are the kind of elements that you walk away and think like, that was cool. As a wedding guest, I've never seen that before. So that definitely falls into the trend category for this year and what will be seen next year as well.
Exactly. And you're seeing more of that because, you know, more like over time, things become, you know, more available, more affordable. So it's definitely, you know, we're seeing more of these kinds of like, I don't want to say kooky, but these more interesting and creative things that you wouldn't have seen before. You know, and some of the other things that are interesting with technology from the practical side of it, you know, you have all the tools that can help you plan. But then there's also services for the bridesmaids and the bridal party. So, you know, instead of all figuring out what day of the week and what time you can all get to the bridesmaid store or the tuxedo shop to try on clothes, the bride, you can rent it all online. You know, you have Vow to Be Chic where you can rent bridesmaid dresses for a fraction of the retail price. Or you have Menguin or the Black Tux where guys can rent the tuxedo and they don't even have to leave, you know, their couch. So, you know, you have these kinds of practical things, but you also have these fun things that kind of make the process easier, less stressful, and more enjoyable.
Excellent. And how about colors, fashion? What are the women wearing? What are the men wearing? And this could go toward heterosexual couples or same-sex. But maybe start with maybe same-sex weddings. What are some trends you're seeing or some ideas for same-sex couples?
Well, I think, you know, the overall trend in wedding dresses is we're seeing kind of the pendulum swing from sheer and sexy all the way to more of modest looks. So you're seeing high necks, long sleeves, but you're also still seeing the traditional elements like bows and floral appliques and pearls and beading, stuff like that. When it comes to same-sex couples, the concern is that, you know, whatever they want to wear is they want to wear, but it's that you want the style and formality of their looks to complement each other because you don't want one person showing up in a black tie, ball gown, or tuxedo and the other person's in a pair of jeans and a blazer or a cocktail dress. So you want to make sure that both of you are in the same kind of style and formality. And the best way to do that is have a friend go with each of you so that they can kind of guide you in the right direction, whether it's a parent, whether it's a member of the bridal party, or shop at the same store. You know, both of you make an appointment at the same store, same bridal salon, whatever it is, so that the consultants can guide you in the right direction. And so I think that the most important thing is to make sure that your looks complement each other in formality, because you want to make sure that you look like the couple who's getting married on the wedding day and not like the bride and a guest or the groom and a guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Good tip.
I've been seeing with wedding dresses specifically, I've been seeing more, at least the weddings here, and I'm in Texas, so I've been seeing a lot more texture and like tactile, almost not three-dimensional, I guess, but the dresses that have like appliques and more lace that's covering either something nude or that's covering, you know, a dress already there. But is that going to continue for the next year, do you think, as like some, you know, predicting trends, or are we going to see them done, you know, in a different way?
I think we're going to see more of an increase in kind of those modest looks, especially for the ceremony. I mean, we still have a lot of girls that either are getting convertible or two-in-one gowns where they have a modest look for the ceremony and then it's changed a little bit for the reception, or they're just buying a second dress for the reception. But you're definitely going to see, you know, a continuation of the high necks and the long sleeves, but also with, you know, sheer fabrics or that kind of nude lining with lace over it. Or, you know, traditional like floral embellishments or pearl detailing or bows in modern ways, not the traditional big but present bow, like you're being unwrapped, but more of those kinds of like modern vertical bows or diagonal bows, just so you have some of those traditional elements, but you're looking at these kinds of modest gowns. And then with the sheer and the sexy, you're definitely going to see a continuation of the brides who do want to show off their skin, whether it's bearing a back or using illusion fabric so that they're technically covered, even if it doesn't look like they are. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing the same thing, and we're probably going to see the same thing where you have that kind of textured layer where it's a very revealing back, but there's like floral applique on the back of it. So you can see her back and the skin on her back, but there's like florals dotting it. Yeah. Or you have, you know, a very low plunging neckline with an illusion, and then it has like jewels kind of on it that makes it look like a necklace.
I love that. I love the applique. It just seems like uber feminine to me. And I love it on just like my personal style. If I were getting married again, I would be looking for kind of a dramatic dress like that flutters a little bit as you walk. I think those are gorgeous.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the detailing is it's, you know, it's not old fashioned, you know, it's not like, you know, wear your pearls girls in that kind of traditional way. You're seeing them, you know, modern fashion forward looks, you know, you're seeing a lot of ready to wear designers getting into bridal. Victor and Rolf now have a bridal collection. You know, there's so many, you know, you could go into Louis Vuitton, they have a collection. I mean, it's really amazing how many high-end couture designers are getting into bridal. That isn't just that kind of couture element. So you really are seeing this really beautiful, beautiful designs coming out of bridal market, which is twice a year. And it's really fun to see.
Any advice for couples out there who maybe are, you know, if you were a very budget conscious, and you might have been when you planned your wedding, I don't know. I know I was when I was planning my wedding. But budget conscious couples who want to have, you know, it doesn't need to be over the top, but anything that you would say to them, like, definitely do this, or, you know, maybe things that some couples feel like they have to do that maybe they don't necessarily have to. Like, what would be some basic go-to stuff for more budget-minded couples?
Well, I think the most important thing is for a couple to figure out early on what is important to them. You know, is it the fashion? Is it the food? Is it the stationery? Like, what's important to them? And then allocate the money to those areas. And you can find inexpensive ways to do the other things. So, for example, you know, a DJ is going to be less expensive than a band. You know, printed, like digital printed invitations are going to be less expensive than a letterpress or engraved invitation. So figure it out what it is that you want. I think from a traditional element, from a traditional point of view, you know, I personally always suggest people have a cake. You know, even if they say, I hate cake, I never wanted a cake for my birthday. You know, even if you get a small three-tiered cake, and the reason I say three tiers is one cake looks like a birthday cake, two tiers looks just weird. So you want like three tiers, even if it's small, just to have that moment for you to cut it, because it's kind of that iconic photo that your grandparents had, your parents have. You don't have to serve it. You know, I just think that that's this kind of special moment that you should have. But I think from the budget point of view, once you figure out what you want, you can kind of look on, you know, using the Wedding Wire vendor directory or talking with friends and going online into the forums to try to find out what have people done to save money. And that depends on what they want. You know, if you don't have the budget for these beautiful, lush floral centerpieces, you can have just a beautiful floral centerpiece with rose petals and candles on the table, or just candles, which is quite dramatic and romantic. So, you know, I think overall, you kind of want to think, all right, an average wedding is going to have 20 to 25 vendors participating. Which are the ones that are the most important? What can we come back on? You know, do you need a limo, or can dad drive you to the wedding? Mm-hmm. Or can you get an Uber to take you to the wedding? They have very nice looking Ubers. They're nice black cars. It's very pretty.
Yep. I've called quite a few of them at the end of a night.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we've talked about dresses, but how are the men changing the game a little bit, trends-wise, fashion-wise?
Well, I think the great thing about the guys now is they don't have to just wear a tuxedo or a suit. They can really personalize their look. And it used to be that they were kind of hiding their personalization in, like, funky socks or, like, a colorful pocket square.
Like, the bride was like, okay, you love plaid. You can wear plaid socks, but that is it.
Exactly. You want like yellow socks. Okay. Like you lift them up for the photo and then hide them again.
Just that one photo.
Exactly. And we've all seen them all over the internet. And so I think now it's really the ties that they get to really kind of express themselves. And I think it really kind of allows the guys to show off their personality, you know, for the whole night and in the photos, because you can't really hide the tie. And I think, you know, you're seeing everything from, you know, cool bow ties, feather bow ties, you know, ties that are in colors and patterns. They can be personalized. You know, you're seeing a lot more of an opportunity for the guys to express themselves in those ways. And you're also seeing a lot of color. So instead of black, not like a rainbow of colors, but like grays, navies, burgundies, tweeds, if they're getting married in the fall or the winter.
For the suit itself.
Yes, for the suit itself.
Yes.
So
I love a good velvet dinner jacket, man.
I love that. That's my favorite. You know, there's a.
Can you explain? What is a feather tie?
A feather tie. So it's okay. So there's a company in Charleston, and I'm going to send you. I'm literally writing a note right now. Feather bow tie for the show notes. So it's a company in Charleston, and they make them out of different types of feathers, like peacock feathers. So they're green, or I've seen black with like white dots, like all feathers. And they're just regular sized bow ties, but instead of fabric, they're made of feathers, and they're.
Do you tie them? Like, or do they come?
No, I think they come tied. They must and come. Then you just it's like a pre-tied one. But they don't look cheap. It's not like you look like, you know, a kid. Like, it's very tastefully done.
From far
it's
away, it would look
stylish.
Like a regular bow tie. And then, right? Yeah. So more the texture, not like feathers are sticking
I don't know
out.
Why that's so fascinating to me. Like, who came up with this feather? I wonder if it tickles. But I bet it's really cool. Like, I'd want to touch it.
You totally want to touch it. It's really cool. And I don't think they're very budget friendly, but they're definitely
but that's
something
your
you can
one
wear
thing.
Again. No, but it's like, you know, it's something you can wear again. You know, it's not like you're making him buy a, you know, a tweed suit in like purple or whatever that he's never going to wear again. It's a bow tie or you could gift it. But I think it's, you know, one of those kinds of like fun, quirky things that, you know, will let the guys show off their personality. And, you know, it's nice that guys are finally getting the chance to do that because it used to be, you know, like you're just wearing a black tuxedo and or a suit and that's it. So, you know, to have a chance for the guys who, and if you look at, you know, men's fashion and the men you see on the red carpet, like they are expressing themselves. And, you know, a couple years ago, they were all wearing navy tuxedos to the Oscars. Like they do want to express themselves.
It's less,
you know, they want to show off their
personality. It's less obvious, right? So more in the accessories, like you mentioned, bow ties and ties and pocket squares and cufflinks and designer
cufflinks,
glasses
huge.
And, you know, a boutonniere being more than just a flower, maybe something more creative or with some cool ribbon. So like the time is now for men to like own their wedding looks is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, if you look, guys are older than women on average. You know, they're in their early 30s. They have a sense of style. It's not like they're 23 years old and, you know, they don't know what to wear. They, you know, they've professional, they're in the workforce. They know what they feel good in. They know what they look good in. And they don't want to just be like, oh, I'm just going to rent some tuxedo that some poor slob's probably worn 50 times. So they want to dress up. They want to make it, you know, they want to look the part. You know, one of the things, you know, Black by Vera Wang, which is exclusive to Men's Warehouse, is a very like thin cut fitted tuxedo, which is very different from a lot of the other tuxedo cuts that you can rent out there. And they're flying off the shelves for, you know, prom season and weddings because they have a nice fit, you know, and the guys can show up, you know, not that they're showing off their waistlines like a woman is in a dress, but they don't want to wear something where they're going to look like a football player. They want to wear something that's going to fit them. So you're seeing that as like the perfect example of guys kind of like owning their wedding day look just as the bride does.
Yeah, power to those men, man. It's not all just about the woman.
And
they're getting involved, too. I mean, we're seeing more and more guys getting involved in choosing the music, choosing the food, figuring out who the photography is, planning the honeymoon. Like, you know, it's no longer like he gave you the ring and now he doesn't have to do anything till the day of. But he's involved in the process hugely, like never before. So it only makes sense that he wants to have a say in what he gets to wear.
Right. It's not all about the brides and the ladies. And we had a groom on the podcast a couple episodes ago who was like, I'm going to wear like a spiffy ass suit. And that's like, I am not letting her tell me what to do on that one. Like, that is mine. And just like a bride can change, you know, into a cocktail dress or something after the ceremony. We see that a lot, but I've done several weddings in the past year now that I'm thinking about it where the groom or grooms changed into white dinner jackets after the ceremony or were in it before and then changed into black jackets. And I think it's cool and it makes for some like variance
very
in the
cool.
photos and it's kind of old school, like James Bond, like it's
Cary Grant.
Yeah, it's
very
cool.
Sexy.
We're into that.
No, and I think it's great. And the other thing is, you know, if she's changing her look, it makes sense for him to change his look because, you know, he also wants to still compliment her in style and formality.
Very, very true.
Yeah, I like the idea of of this Black by Vera Wang because let me tell you, there is nothing worse than an ill-fitting suit.
Yep.
It's a waste of money. And I feel like a lot of men, you know, you look at the magazines, they're more of a tapered leg, like the shoulders aren't like... They're not like wings, you know, like they fit them the right way. And I think that's a common problem where rental suits are concerned also is because they have this old fashioned way of tailoring them where it's like my grandfather's wearing, you know, the suit that he wore to his wedding. It's just, totally different times. I love that. Hey, so the other thing I wanted to ask you is what traditions are couples throwing out and what traditions do you think are worth keeping?
I think you know, traditions worth keeping are...
You mentioned cake.
I love the cake. That's my favorite, hands down, number one detail of any wedding is the cake. The cake, I don't think anyone's getting rid of the bridal bouquet. I think, you know, that's just kind of this, you know, kind of completes the look.
They're getting rid of tossing it, but not carrying it.
No one's tossing, yeah. No one's really tossing their bouquets anymore. They might gift it to someone, like they might honor their mother or their sister or their grandmother by giving it to them. They're tossing the idea of the garter toss. So you might wear a garter, like they might get like a super cool, chic garter from Garter Girl, but they're not letting him go up her skirt to go find it and then throw it to his friends, which I think is a good thing because that's just gross. I don't know why.
We're seeing it less often, but I am still seeing both. But it's interesting how polarizing that is because the couples that are into it and they're going to do it are very into it. And the couples that tell me, like, no way are we doing that, have some very strong opinions about their reasons not to do it. So it's never neutral. It's never like, let's think about it. It's like, hell yes.
All in or not.
F no. We're not doing
that. No, and I look, obviously, if it's something you want to do because you've always envisioned this moment, obviously do it. I personally don't quite understand it. But I just think that it's just like you can have a beautiful garter, whether it's like one that's been passed down or, you know, have one made to match your
something
look.
Something blue.
You have it. You're something blue or you want to incorporate lace from your grandmother's dress or something. Then Garter Girl is the place to go and have that made. I definitely see people are not doing that as much as they were. Mm-hmm. For other traditions, like, you know, with the send off. You know, people aren't doing rice like they used to, but they're coming up with new ways of doing it, whether it's sparklers at the end of the night or it's confetti or birdseed or something like that. So I think the send-off is kind of evolving in a way.
It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere, and I don't think it should go anywhere, but I like how it's evolving into something that's more personal and super fun for the couple. So I think that that's important. You know, you're seeing, you know, the ring bearer is still either the little boy or now it's the pets. If there's no child, the pet is wearing the rings around his collar, which I think is super fun and a nice way to include your furry friend in your wedding. One of the traditions I think that people should add is, I think in addition to like the father of the bride's toast and the best man speech and maid of honor speech, I think the bride and groom should say something. Or one should speak on behalf of both of them to thank everyone for being there. I think it's a nice thing. You can say it really fast. And I think it's something that's really sweet. You're still seeing, you know, some of the kind of fun activities like a photo booth is now like a GIF booth or you're seeing interactive food stations. And I think that those are just like, instead of just having these like carving stations at your cocktail hour, there's more of like interactive food stations. So people can kind of really get involved, especially if the couple considers themselves foodies and they want their guests to really kind of enjoy the meal, whether it's at cocktail hour or at the reception. I kind of see like everything really evolving.
What about visuals, flowers, linens, rentals, furniture, any trends there?
Rentals are huge. I mean, I feel like you always heard about rental companies for a long time, but nobody really did anything except if they were just renting, you know, another china pattern or linens. And I think it's really great that you have so many great vintage rental companies like Patina, where you can get like beautiful, you know, antique bar carts that, you know, the waiters can, you know, go around from table to table and mix your drink, or, you know, a great lounge setting with, you know, wrought iron furniture or, you know, Louis XIV style sofas and chairs. So I think rentals are really a great opportunity to kind of really bring that vision to life, where you can be like, I really always imagined X, and the rental companies can really
make that
happen.
There's some company that has it for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, whether you're getting it on Etsy or eBay or a local rental company, also things they get shipped across the country. So it's super easy to kind of really find things online and having it sent over to you. For flowers, you know, we're seeing a lot of really lush centerpieces, a lot of greenery in centerpieces, which can help offset budget costs. But also they're just, you know, beautiful, like pastel colors, like flowing, whether it's your bridal bouquet or your centerpiece, you're just seeing these beautiful lush and greenery kind of arrangements, which are really nice and beautiful.
What about flowers as fashion? I know flower crowns were really big just all over Instagram and, you know, with the Snapchat filter and all of yeah. that, you can put a crown on anybody.
Exactly.
But are our crowns still going strong, or are there other ways that brides or women are, you know, carrying or holding flowers that is considered a trend now?
I think flower crowns are always going to be good for little girls. Like, your flower girls are always going to look adorable in them. But I think for brides, we're kind of seeing the phase out of flower crowns. But what we're seeing is a lot of braids are really popular. And we're going to see a lot of braids going into fall and into 2018 as the new kind of look for brides. And what the floral, the hairstylists are doing is that they're weaving in like a single bloom here and there into the hairstyle. So you won't have a full head of flowers, but you'll have like a couple of flowers here and there. And it's just a beautiful, elegant, sweet, pretty look. And the great thing is that your hairstylist can stay till after the ceremony to remove your veil and then to replace any flowers that you need replacing. And it's just a really nice update and a new version of wearing flowers in your hair.
I love that too. I think it can be mm-hmm. really pretty.
Me too. I love
when
it.
When thinking about trends, which we've, you know, kind of mentioned that we don't like dedicate shows just like here's what is trendy, here's what you're seeing, but it's throughout your whole wedding planning process that you're going to see like what's popular, what's, you know, in vogue and what's going out of style. Because you are keeping your eye on all of this and have been for so many years, like what this year just like came out of nowhere for you and was like, I could not have predicted that, I stand corrected. This is officially a thing.
I stand corrected.
I was wrong. Ice cream. I don't think I would have anticipated ice cream being as big as a dessert trend this year. I am so happy because I love ice cream. And it's not that kind of tailored, button-up pastry or dessert that you would
see.
Yeah,
it's playful.
No, it's playful. It's messy. It's kids.
Everybody likes it. I don't trust you if you don't like ice cream.
Right? It comes in all these different flavors and colors, and you can top it off and make it in all sorts of different ways. You can, you know, do milkshakes. You can do sundaes. You could get a soda jerk. You know, you could you can get the Coke bottles that have like your names on it or every guest name on it and have everybody have an ice cream.
And there's
cream
like
float.
The action element of it, like an ice cream show almost if you get some of the cool vendors.
Yeah, you make it interactive. Yeah. And it's like, you know, what do you want on yours? And a couple can get super crazy and be like, all right, I have a pastel wedding, so we're going to have mint and strawberry and vanilla ice cream. Like, you know, you can get insane with it. And then you can also have a lot of fun with all the toppings, and it makes for great photos, and it's super yummy. And it's something that I don't think we expected. I think, you know, we went from cakes to cupcakes to dessert buffets to candy to donuts that, you know, ice cream, it's not a pastry,
yeah.
It's not a baked item. Yeah, it doesn't fit. Popsicles are huge, like pop tails are huge, yeah. Where you have like a flavored popsicle in a cocktail to keep it cold.
Mm.
And those are just, that's the whole thing. It's that weddings are going in this, you know, you have a generation, whether you're talking about millennials or Gen Z, which is the next one, and everything was customized for them.
Now there's a Gen Z.
Oh, yeah, Gen Z. I'm reading a book on them. They're fascinating.
Oh, man.
Is that our kids?
Yeah, 1995 to 2012.
Right before.
Holy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right, like, it's like in there. Right on the edge. But it's, you know, it's like, oh, look, I was 78, so I'm technically a Generation X, but I'm sort of more of a millennial. But, you know, it's like everyone has that kind of borderline. But it's really, these kids grew up where it's like everything was at their fingertips, you know, everything was customized. You know, you customize everything from your Amazon order to your Blue Apron order to your, you know, whatever it is you want.
Your Pottery Barn room.
Exactly. You know, and then they know you and they reach out. They're like, oh, you like this. You might like that. So I think with weddings, it's just an extension of that kind of customization.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Who knew ice cream was going to get us thinking about all this big stuff, like how old we are?
I need ice cream. Ice cream makes me happy. Okay. That is fascinating, actually.
And delicious. And super delicious. Don't you want to go to one of these weddings? I want to go to one of these weddings.
I want ice cream right now. I'm going to go on Amazon right now.
The wedding I just did had a popsicle cart, and it was really fun, and it was July in Texas, so people were lining up for those popsicles. I mean, the wedding was indoors, but it's like the nostalgia of it. Oh, it's so hot. I need a popsicle. And for sure, people were eating popsicles at that wedding that I would be willing to bet have not eaten a popsicle for at least 40 years. It was like, here they are. Those popsicles are awesome. We're going to get them. And I think they'll remember that about the wedding. So that's something fun about these trends, is that it's a memorable element when people leave, you know, leave your wedding.
Yeah. And I think that it's that interactive element where you're kind of looking at everyone and being like, oh my God, can you believe we're having this at a wedding, versus, you know, just sitting down and having a beautiful, you know, chocolate souffle or something put in front of you, which is also beautiful and delicious, but it's more expected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like when you leave a wedding and there's like a bunch of munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts that you can take with you, or, you know, they have like, you know, the, you know, some other kind of like interesting takeaway where you're kind of like, oh, look, they're giving you like a hot cup of coffee and a donut to go.
All right, Anne. Well, thank you so, so much for being on this episode. And we actually are going to say goodbye for this episode, but we are going to be interviewing Anne again.
Whoop, whoop.
So what we thought was, we want to ask you, our listeners, if you're planning a wedding, if you're a vendor, whatever it is, you get to write in to us and ask questions of Anne. So we're going to be recording with Anne again. So we need to have your questions in by August 17th. Okay, that's the latest we need the questions in by. There are three ways that you can send questions for Anne. One is on Twitter. Christy, our Twitter handle is?
At TBWP Podcast.
Yes.
Just hit us up on Twitter with questions.
And then there's Facebook. Find us on Facebook, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast on Facebook. Send us questions through Facebook. And then if you'd like to or prefer, you can email us. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at Gmail is our email address. So there you go. Three ways to ask Anne a question, an expert, and she will answer on the show. And the show will air that following week. So you're going to hear these questions really, really soon. Ask them by August 17th. Anne, thank you so, so much. This was a lot of fun.
This is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to come back.
It was nice talking to you, ladies. And happy planning to everybody out there. Goodbye, Christy.
Goodbye, all. We'll talk soon.
All right.